all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly, and so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be?
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection, a place of shared unity and equal common ground for all peoples and cultures, a unity not built on separation and blindness, but a solid foundation built on the respect for all walks of life, molded by the thirst of the people for change. In unity, bridging the gap, for we are the voice of we the people. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and DBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free 888-389-3452 or 877-489-6350. Our direct line, same area code, is 530-776-5144 or 776-5154 and 413-4511. It is truly an honor to be with you each on this great day. I wanted to send out a friendly reminder to all of you that we have gone through a major solar eclipse today, which are going to create many wonderful shifts and changes in each of our worlds. So I hope that you have taken a moment throughout your day to reflect upon our new beginnings. It is truly an honor to share this information with each and every one of you. Tonight we have a very, very special guest, and I'd like to dedicate this show, this night, to Humane Society for all the great works that they do to create a warm, safe, and loving environment for our dear beloved animals that we love so dearly. As many of you are very aware of, I am truly an animal lover. I have three boys at home. Well, I refer to them as my boys. But tonight, our title of our show is Wagging Tails. Every animal has a tail. And I have to tell you, you're definitely going to want to pull up your chair, maybe take some notes, because we are going to share some wonderful information about our wonderful friends that give us such unconditional love without any judgments. You know, those little animals that come up when we have those moments of despair or sadness and take a moment to share their wonderful loving eyes with us and to curl up with that warmth to let us know that everything is indeed okay. I'd like to invite all of you to my show page with BBSRadio.com. As many of you are aware of, I have a wealth of information about our tremendous guest for tonight. Now, his name is Tim Link. He is the president and CEO of Wagging Tails and is a practicing animal communicator. As part of his passion for helping animals, Tim also has mastered Reiki, an ancient art of energy healing which he uses on animals. Tim has recently been featured in numerous newspapers, television, and radio shows, including the Associated Press. Shows such as The Morning Show, Good Day, Country News, and The Bronx Times, CC's Link, Live Your Legacy, and so many more. Tim grew up in Richmond, Indiana. He is married to his high school sweetheart, Kim, and graduated from Ball State University with a bachelor's degree, bachelor of science degree in sales and marketing. After graduation, he built a successful 20-plus year career in sales management for the telecommunications industry, earning numerous awards and promotions for his achievements. He was living his dream as an all-American guy. In February of 2004, Tim learned with great surprise that he could indeed communicate telepathically with animals. So without further delay, let's all give our guest a warm welcome, Tim Link, to the show. Aloha, Tim.
Aloha. How are you this evening?
I am great and very honored to have you and your great works. And this is one of those shows that I carry very deep in my own heart. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. It's a pleasure being here. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and all your wonderful listeners, talk a little bit about our wonderful pets and animals and how we can build the best relationship possible with them. And that's what I do every single day, and it's a pleasure to be able to have a gift to be able to help people and to help the animals out.
Well, I have to tell you, Tim, once I received your book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, not only did I read your book once, but I went back and read this book again, and I just love the stories. You can feel the heartfelt through your words. You can feel your passion and your commitment to the animals, and you really have got a strong connection of a great understanding of how our animals play such an important role in our lives. So how did this all begin for you, Tim?
Well, the journey was, it's quite, it was unexpected type of thing. You know, as you read my bio there, I had done what I thought I was supposed to with my life. And at the time, it was a great life. What else could you ask for? You work very hard. You find your love of your life at the age of 15. And now 30 years later, we're still together. And so I've got that part of my relationship down pat. I'm the first kid in my lineage to go to college, and I paid my way through college and worked very hard, and I graduated, and I started a career in the telecommunications industry, and I continued to receive promotions and climb that corporate ladder and got to the point where I was a director and vice president of a major telecommunications company selling wireless phone technology that cost companies $20-30 million at any given time for a particular product we were selling. So, that was sort of the dream. That's what I thought, well, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I do it quite well, thank you. And while I'm at it, I would, I grew a love affair for the animals, and my wife and I had numerous animals in our life. But little did I know, in February 2004, all this was going to change. And I remember it very well. February 2004, it was my wife's birthday weekend, and there was this little workshop, a little half-day workshop that was coming to town, and the workshop sort of taught you how to clear your mind, get rid of all that monkey mind, as I call it, all those crazy things that you think of all day long.
Oh, yeah.
got to pick up the kids, got to get the laundry, got to mow the grass, got to, all these little sticky note things that you're sticking to your mind. So how do you clear that out? How do you open yourself up, open your heart, open your mind, and how do you take that to a deeper level and connect with animals? And once we learned that, we went to this workshop, we learned that process. We were with about 12 other people in the class. Each of us would bring in pictures of our animals. There was a few dogs and cats around that the host had as their pets. and each person would ask four or five questions about each of the animals, and they were the only ones that knew the answers. They're pretty simple questions, you know, like things like, you know, where does Spot like to lay at night? Where does Fluffy, where's Fluffy's litter pan? What color is it? You know, simple things like this.
Yes.
But little did I know, I used these techniques to calm myself, to focus myself, to clear out all that stuff that was in my mind. I would look at the pictures. I would look at the animals. I would ask these questions, and I started receiving information. And at first, it was just, you know, a couple words or a couple pictures. Didn't really know what they meant, but I wrote them down on my little note, and as we went around, you know, notepad, and as we went around the room, we shared what we received, and I started getting everything 100% correct. All the answers were all the answers were getting answered. All the questions were flowing. We're talking, you know, hundreds of questions, though they were very simple, hundreds of questions that we were asking, and I was getting them correct. And I thought, well, you know, this is pretty cool. This is definitely fascinating. What the heck does it mean? Am I just on a roll? Maybe I should go play the lottery because I'm cooking now. I'm doing good. And definitely, how is this going to fit, you know, fit into my life? Because it wasn't like I could go to a, you know, a CEO of a major corporation and say, you know what? If you buy $20 million worth of my cell phone technology today, I'll come by and explain why Fluffy's no longer using the litter box. I didn't think those two things were going to play hand in hand. I thought if that sales approach could work, maybe I would still be selling cell phone technology today. But I knew those two weren't going to fit.
Well, so, if you would hold your thought for a moment, because I'd really like to bring this bit of information, which I feel will really help our listeners tonight really connect with the magnitude of this wonderful gift that you have. And one of the areas that I really wanted to convey tonight is that Tim was a volunteer as a past president of the Humane Society. So I'm sure, Tim, when you stepped into this position, even though you knew that you loved animals, never ever occurring to you that it was going to take you to another level of greater understanding in this wonderful way of communicating with the animals. I'm sure it must have been, you know, you stood there and questioned, wait a minute, what is this that I'm receiving here?
You know, absolutely. And, you know, early on, and as I was saying, it was very simple information, and I kept it fairly quiet, you know, because I really wasn't sure how people would accept it and what would it mean in my life. So, you know, I worked with my own pets, and the gift continued to grow. Then I let a few select friends know about it, and I worked with their pets, and it continued to grow. And then we started getting involved in rescue organizations and volunteering our time with rescue organizations, and then later became president of our local Humane Society. So then the opportunity to work with hundreds and hundreds of animals and the gift continuing to grow and seeing what that meant and seeing those animals live out great lives and find great forever homes and seeing them go on to be, you know, happy and healthy was a wonderful thing. And it actually led me to sort of my leap of faith. I finally at that point had to realize that, you know, this gift is getting stronger. The opportunities are presenting themselves. I'm getting calls from people from literally around the world to help me better connect with their pets. How do I understand what's going on with my pets? I got a lost pet. Can you help me find it? I've got a pet that's going through the transition process, and I'm going through that grieving and trying to make those tough decisions. Can you help me understand that better? And finally, I had to come to, my divine guidance and ask that question. You know, is this something I should just continue to put on the side and just do it as a casual thing and continue my 20-year career in telecom? Or is this something that has a greater purpose? Is this something I'm meant to be doing? Is this my purpose in life? And, you know, my confirmation came through loud and clear that this is my purpose. My purpose is to give the animals a voice and to help you build the best relationship possible with your pets and the best understanding that you possibly can with animals. And so I took that leap of faith. I left that 20-year corporate career behind, started the business Wagging Tails, started helping people. Next thing you know, I'm doing, you know, national TV, national radio, And now I've got this wonderful little book out called Wagging Tails. Every animal has a tail. And it's a collection of 32 stories of animals that I've actually worked with and helped people build best relationships possible between them. So it's been a wonderful
ride. If I may share this information with all the listeners tonight, this wonderful book that Tim has written titled Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. I'd like to share that website, and it's www.wagging-tails.com. I will also keep this information posted on my show page with BBS Radio. I'd like to personally invite each and every one of you to take a moment and really explore the wonderful information that Tim is sharing with all of us. I have to tell you, I have sat down and literally read this book not once, but twice. Tim has done a wonderful job on really, he allows us to see through his eyes, to really communicate and have a greater understanding of the direct communication that animals do indeed have with each and every one of us. And I thank you, Tim, for being that voice for the animals that love us so dearly. With that said, I have a very tough and important question that I would like to ask you personally tonight, if I may.
Okay.
And that question is for those that might be sitting out there or don't necessarily take a moment within their day to reflect the gift, the true gift that we receive from the animals that show us so much love, how does our animals play in our lives? What's the importance? And why should we start taking time out to really show our appreciation to the animals that love us so dearly?
Well, you know, they bring so many wonderful things in our life. And I think we all recognize everyone that has a pet or is involved in work with animals, you know that unconditional love they bring, that happiness and joy they bring. They're always excited to see you. All these things that at a very high level you connect with, and we should appreciate and honor and respect every single day. But it actually goes much deeper than that. You know, our animals come into our life for a purpose. And I tell people that, you know, we would like to think that we went and picked Fluffy or Spot or Winnie or whoever out, you know, and brought them home, but they actually pick us out. There's a reason that they're coming home with us, and they always, you know, there's always a purpose for them to be in our lives. And so whether that is to be a teacher, to teach you about something, a learning process, to wake you up to what your real potential and your real reality is, it could be that it is a heart connection to teach you love again. Maybe you've had a tough relationship. Maybe you've gone through a divorce or a separation, and you're really struggling with that answer, and they teach you what love's all about again. Sometimes it's to get you through a certain point in your life. Maybe you've had some dis-ease in your life, and you need to get rid of that, and there is your support mechanism to help you recognize that dis-ease and help you get rid of it. So there's so many wonderful things that they do for us. And I'll give you a great personal example. And I didn't realize it at the time, but as the years have gone by and I've started working with, you know, animal communication full time, I recognize it now. And it's the story of my two schnauzers. We've got two schnauzers, and my wife and I had Pomeranians, and we had two Pomeranians, and they lived wonderful lives. They lived to be 15 and 16 years old. Great lives, loves of our lives. But we went through a period of about 4 years where I put up, I guess, the good fight, as a husband would call it, that I didn't bring any other dogs into the household. I didn't think it was fair to the dogs, and I didn't think it was fair to my wife to bring another dog into the household, because at that time, I was a telecom executive. And I traveled 70% of the time. I traveled around the world, and I was not here that often. And I didn't think it was fair. Well, just so happens a friend and colleague of my wife's had found a black kitten in October, and it was around Halloween, so it's very difficult to place black cats during Halloween at rescue groups or get them adopted. It's just some stigmatism we have about that, the Halloween tradition and black cats. But she worked and found that cat, that little kitten, a forever, great, perfect forever home. And while she was on searching for a place to place this cat, she ran across the pictures of our two boys, as we call them, as you call your boys. And the schnauzers were, within a day of being euthanized, purebred standard schnauzers. That was unacceptable. So a friend of ours who ran a cat rescue actually rescued them. Then a couple of days later, we went and got them and brought them home with us. Now, that was simple enough. We thought, this is a great thing. They're part of a rescue. There's a connection there. We've got dogs back in our lives, which I was a fool to let so many years go by without having a beautiful dog in our life. But little did I know that 4 months later is when this gift would present itself. And little did I know that the teachings that I learned from these schnauzers, who we still have today, would go on to help me take this leap of faith that I'm doing now and to follow what I believe is my purpose. I've learned so much from them through their ailments, through their allergies that they have, through their food allergens, their environmental allergens that they have. I've got one schnauzer who developed SARDS, S-A-R-D-S, earlier yeah. this year, which is a sudden retinal degeneration where they go to bed and they see one day, they go to bed and they get up the next morning and they can't see. So all these little tragedies, all the highs and lows and all the things that we've gone through since 2004 with these two schnauzers has allowed me to do my work today and to share with thousands of people what we've gone through and help them solve their problems and help them realize that animals can live perfectly healthy lives even though they've got some challenges. And now I share that with people around the world. And I firmly believe that it took these two schnauzers to help me wake up and realize my full potential and recognize this gift, to open up to it, and to do the work that I'm doing today.
So, Tim, how do we become more in tuned and responsible in the proper care with our animals that give us so much? Are there some useful tools that can help us get started in the right direction and being more connected with them?
Well, definitely so. In the book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, not only do we have the 32 stories of the animals I've worked with, but there are also 24 helpful hints, little tips that you can do today to have great lives with your pets. And little tips on how to solve anxiety in a dog when you go to leave the house, what to do, and how do you solve that problem. How do you recognize a problem where Fluffy is no longer using the litter box? What do you say to your pet to get them to realize what you're wanting from them and how to recognize what they need from you? So these helpful tips, these little tips will help you out, and they're all in the book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. But, you know, on a very straightforward, the number one thing that we can do today, we can all do this today, is actually spend some time with our pets in the quiet time, in the quiet zone, however you want to label it. You know, it's great to love on our pets. It's great to exercise them, go out and run with them, go out and walk them. All those things are wonderful and definitely needed. But what I'm talking about here is you get into a quiet place and you invite your pet in with you. And this can be your quiet time, your meditation time, your prayer time, whatever it is. Take some time, be stingy, be selfish, set aside some time where you do absolutely nothing, and you breathe in that air, and you clear your mind, and you center yourself, and allow your pet to be there with you and connect with them. And then start asking questions of your pet. And I think people will be amazed at how much information they'll receive. But the key is, once you receive that information, you've got to trust that information. You've got to trust what you're receiving. Because us humans often doubt what we're seeing and hearing and what we believe in. And you always have to trust it. So I always tell people
Absolutely.
That's the number one thing you can do today. And that'll help you build that great connection, that great relationship with your pets.
Well, a great example, I was reflecting on one of my boys. His name is Punkin. He's the authority. He's the alpha male of his other brothers. And it's amazing because he'll sit next to me a lot of times when I'm broadcasting, and I'll sit there and share with him telepathically, sending him lots of love. And it's so wonderful, Tim, because he just reaches out and he takes his paw and places it right on my face, so very gently on my face. And I can just feel the love back from him. Or I'll send him a message and he will respond by actually verbally speaking to me.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So he recognized
Absolutely.
That. So you're taking that connection time. You have that connection with them, and you're sending out those messages, and he's receiving them and sending you back messages. And he goes a step further by touching and barking, and you know, allowing you to recognize he understands what you're trying to tell him.
Absolutely. But I have a personal question I'd like to ask you, Tim, because I have one of my boys whose name is Angel Boy. And I wonder sometimes if he's a bit confused. He's so funny. He loves his bath. He loves for you to take Q-tips and clean his ears and likes to brush his teeth, loves his hair brushed, and he runs on his tiptoes.
Weird.
And I said, pardon me?
So he, I mean, that's part of that recognition. I mean, you are actually... He's enjoying the attention he's getting, first of all. He does have that sort of proud mystique to him that, you know, he doesn't like to be messy. He likes to be well-groomed and looking good, which I know is not typical of most dogs, but he likes it. He's very proud of that. And he knows it gives you great pleasure. And you're trying to use him as an example to the other dogs that you know, when it comes to bathing time and grooming time, that they should follow his lead.
Absolutely. I always say to him, you know, I chuckle and say, are you confused? Why are you running around on your tiptoes? It's
funny. Yeah, you just cleaned them, so he doesn't want to get those things dirty or messed up. Why not?
But I truly would like to have more of a connection with them because I'm very tuned in to what they're offering me. You know, a great example is they remind me of the importance of having unconditional love in all my expressions as a human being, in everything that I do. They also remind me the importance of not judging any person, place, or situation around me because they, no matter what I may say or do or the type of mood I'm in, as you know, Tim, they show us constant unconditional love. They don't care.
No, well, absolutely. You know, people ask me all the time, what is the one thing, if you had to pick one thing, what is the one thing we can learn from our pets? And the thing I tell them is you learn to be like them. And, of course, they laugh because they think, okay, what do you mean, get on all fours and I run around and I chase my tail? And that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is, you know, animals are a lot like humans. We have past, we have presence, and we have the future. And with our animals, they understand their past and they learn from their past, but they don't live in that past. They live in the present, they work every day to try to fulfill their mission and purpose for being here, and then they move on, they transition on. As humans, unfortunately, we have that same opportunity, but oftentimes we hold on to our past like it's a golden egg. You know, how often do we display all the traumas we went through in the past, and how often do we blame somebody else for how we are today? And then what happens is we lose focus of the present and we have no chance of fulfilling our mission and purpose. So I tell people all the time is, you know, yeah, we all have pasts. They can be great pasts, they can be terrible pasts, or they can be a combination thereof. Learn from those, take those lessons, but live for the moment. Identify what your purpose and your passion and the reason you're here and live that passion and purpose every single day. And then when you transition out, you'll realize that, hey, I did everything that I was supposed to do while I was here.
So working with animals, what is the one communication that has been consistent that the animals themselves would like for all of us to know? And how can we help them to live better lives or quality of life and where we can stay more in tune to their needs as well?
Well, I think the thing that they share with me the most is they want us to be happy. You know, they want us to feel that unconditional love. They want us to be happy, and they want us to fulfill our reason for being here. So, you know, I tell people often that, you know, when we're in a good place in our life, when our energy, I use the terminology energy quite a bit, and when our energy is high, when things are clicking along nicely, we're in great relationships, we're in great careers, physically we're feeling good, everything's cooking along just the way it should be, then our animals are in a great place also, because they're helping us keep that level, or helping us keep that high energy level, and everything will flow smoothly with our pets. But when we're in a negative energy, when we're down in the dumps, if we're letting things get to us and things aren't going quite right, then our animals will still try to do everything they possibly can to deflect that negative energy back toward us, to try to give us a wake-up call. To say, hey, you know, don't let that get you down. Hey, if there's something not right in your life, you have all the power in the world to change that. But if that negative energy persists, if we continue to drag ourselves down, if we're not taking care of ourselves, if we're physically drained, if we have disease in our life, whatever it may be, then eventually, if that persists, our animals will start to absorb that. And that's when you start seeing animals with behavior changes, you see them with physical changes, there are things going on because they'll start to absorb that energy, that negative energy that's around them. So our animals want us to be happy and be on purpose, and that's what we should be trying to do every single day.
Absolutely, because I even notice that. I mean, it's so apparent to me in my own environment, with my own interaction. You know, as I'm down in the dumps, they tend to sleep a lot more and less active, whereas if I'm buzzing around and busy doing this and doing that and laughing and having just a great old time, I call them kiyot, because what they end up doing is they're running all over the place and just, you know, bouncing and real joyful themselves and playing with their toys and interacting on so many different levels. And I love that when I see them, because that's when I know that they are the happiest. And I'll actually tune into my own self and realize it's because of my own, where I'm at, you know, emotionally and mentally. So with that said, Tim, what is exactly an animal communicator, and how does that really work?
Well, you know, an animal communicator is someone who can connect with the animals at a much deeper level, and they're able to share information back to me. So I work as a conduit between the human companion, as I call them, and the animal. So the information they share with me comes in numerous ways, numerous forms. It's really based on the individual personality of the animal. So it doesn't matter what species it is or what breed it is or whether it's male or female. All that doesn't matter, because each animal has its own unique personality, just like each human has its own unique personality. So some of the animals are very outspoken, very flamboyant, very talkative, and they'll share with me information in the forms of colors or feelings, words, emotions, pictures, the whole gamut. All the sensations we go through as humans, our animals go through, and some animals choose to communicate with me in all those fashions. Other animals are a little bit more subdued. Their personalities are a little bit more laid back, a little bit calmer. They may only choose to communicate with me in short bursts of information, and maybe those bursts are only in one or two patterns. Maybe they prefer to use words and pictures, or maybe they prefer to use feelings or emotions to share information with me. But what I do is, you have questions about your pets. I work as a conduit to take those questions, ask the animal what those particular questions, they give me back that information I was talking to you about, and I share it back with you. And sometimes it's very clear and we know exactly what they're trying to tell us, and other times we have to sort of, I call, peel back the onion, try to decipher it a little bit more and ask for clarification to determine what they're trying to tell us. But in return, they'll also share information they want you to know, because this is their opportunity to really connect with you and to give you information about what they want or they need, or the things they need or how they're feeling. So it really works as a two-way conversation. And, you know, I have individual consultations. I do private consultations, and about 95% of those are over the phone. All I have is a picture of the animal and the name of the animal, and we set up a consultation over the phone, and we connect with that energy, and we get questions answered, and we help build that best relationship possible. Hello?
Thank you, Tim, for sharing that information with us. I did want to take this opportunity to remind everyone I will have this information posted on my show page with bdsradio.com. The website link is wagging-tales, and that's spelled T as in Tom, A-L-E-S.com. Our guest for this evening is Tim Link, and that's spelled L-I-N-K. Wonderful book of Wagging Tales, Every Animal Has a Tail. I truly have enjoyed reading this book. I found myself delightfully chuckling and reflecting on my own animal's behavior, and I feel that they deserve for all of us to take a moment to really show our animals the appreciation, the respect, and the honor that they so deserve. And let's all remember that they give so much every day to each and every one of us. And that's why I chose this show to dedicate it not only to Humane Society, but also to all our wonderful animals worldwide. I did also want to share this bit of information. For every book purchase of Wagging Tales, a portion of the proceeds is indeed donated to the animal rescue organizations. Tim, if you would take a moment and share a little bit about some of the proceeds on the different animal rescue organizations, I would love to hear about that.
Yeah, well, you know, we're committed to animal rescue, and we're committed to, you know, spaying, neutering, and trying to control the population of animals. And we donate a lot of our time and our money and efforts to these various organizations. And so as you mentioned, with every purchase of the book, as well as every portion of the revenue I get from the business Wagging Tales goes back to various animal organizations, rescue organizations. And it's been a thrill to give back to them. As a matter of fact, we had just got back a few weeks ago from our early summer book tour, and we had an opportunity to visit places like New York City and Dallas and Denver and Phoenix and San Diego and, of course, here in Atlanta where I'm from. So I had great opportunities to visit wonderful people there. And each time we went to a city, we teamed up with a local rescue organization, and they would bring their dogs and cats to the TV shows that we would do and the radio shows and the book signings that we would do and the speaking events that we would do. In return, not only did they get that great exposure from all those events, but they got donations at the events, and then, of course, we give back a portion of our proceeds from the book sales during that time. And it was a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to team up with groups that we had not interfaced with before, and now have formed some great friendships and great relationships and helping their animals out as well. So it's been a pleasure, and it just continues to grow, and we're always here to help out and to give back.
You bet. And, you know, and that's where I got my three boys with Humane Society. And I immediately felt their gratefulness and their excitement to actually be with me. And so they've brought so much love and joy into my own life. And, you know, one of my boys actually reminds me when I get too caught up with life. He'll remind me when to pull back, to take personal time out for myself and really reconnect with me and with my home life. And that's very refreshing as well. But I'd also like to ask you, if you would, Tim, is share a little bit more of your information, because you do such great works with animals. So how do we contact you if we would like to have you come in as an animal communicator or do some Reiki healing work, or you even look for lost animals as well? Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah. I do quite a bit of lost animal work, and we're working with trying to find a cat and four dogs right now from various parts of in this case is the U.S., but I've actually helped people locate cats from France and dogs in Mexico and you name it. So it spreads out worldwide with the lost pets in particular. But the best way to find out about me and the services and the things that I do is to take a look at the website. The website is wagging-tails.com. That's wagging-tails.com. And on the website, we have all kinds of wonderful TV and radio clips. You can watch some of the great things that we've done and listen to some of the great things what we've done. There's information on there about what I do, which is help people solve problems and build great relationships with pets and animals in general, help find lost animals and hopefully bring them back home, and also help you with that understanding that transition process that a pet is going through. So we've got wonderful things going on there. There's always promotions and highlights going on the website. You can find out more about the book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. And there's this wonderful free e-newsletter that we put out the first of every month. It's absolutely free. All you have to do is sign up for it. And not only does it keep you abreast of all the things that I'm doing and how to get a hold of me, but more importantly, we include helpful hints, these little tips. Every single month there's a handful of new tips, things that you can do to implement in your life to have that great relationship with pets. And keep in mind, you know, we do a lot of work with dogs and cats because we see a lot of them, you know, in our domestic life. But, you know, I work with all animals. I have the opportunity to work with horses and bearded dragons and spiders and snakes. And even so far as the book now has granted me opportunities because one of the endorsements on the book is from Jack Hanna, who we all know is Emmy Award winner, and Jack brings all the wonderful animals on the late night talk shows, and he's the director of Emeritus at the Columbus, Ohio Zoo. So we're heading up August 15th to do a book signing and a little talk at the Columbus Zoo, and this has opened up opportunities actually for me to be able to work with animals at our zoos and aquariums and wildlife sanctuaries. So it's really blossomed into a lot more. But check out the website, wagging-tails.com, and they'll tell you everything about what's going on, and sign up for a free consultation as well. Oh, and one more bit of information just for your listeners here tonight. I'll throw it out there. Until the end of July, July 31st, we're going to be offering a buy one, get one free consultation. So you can sign up for a 15-minute or a 30-minute or an hour consultation based on how many questions you have about your animals and how many animals you have, and we'll give you the equivalent for free. And so you can use that at the same time, or you can use it later, or you can give it to a friend or relative. And it's a wonderful little special. It's a great opportunity for you to allow me to help you connect with your pets and build that great relationship. And that's good until the end of July.
Thank you for sharing that important information with all of us this evening. I did want to touch bases on the food, cat litter, to also the importance of shots. So if we may explore, first and foremost, is the food that our animals are eating. What are your thoughts on that, and how can you help us to make better choices in the foods that we choose to feed them?
Well, when referring people to food, I always tell them that we should look for as high quality, highest grade, whole, wholesome, organic foods as possible. So the things that we should be putting in our bodies as humans, animals should be putting into their bodies as well. Now, there are certain foods you have to recognize that are not helpful for pets. You know, you don't want to be feeding avocados and certain things that tend to cause some poison and some reaction in the animals. But what I'm talking about here is when you flip over the back of the package of dog food, those first four or five items on there should be foods that you would want to eat. So it should be things like salmon and trout and, you know, bison and beef, those type of things, whole foods. It should also include whole grains like brown rice is a great one, things like sweet potatoes, blueberries, broccoli, all these things that you would look on the back of that and say, you know what, if I had to sit down and eat at meal tonight, this is probably what I would do. So try to put as many whole foods as you can. The other thing I always recommend for people is to introduce vegetables and fruits into the animal's diet. In particular, things like for your dogs, you can introduce broccoli crowns, whole broccoli crowns, just make sure they're washed and cleaned. You can introduce things like carrots. You can introduce apples. Make sure there's no peeling. Make sure there's no core and no seed, but the apple slices, you know, in the baby carrots that are washed and cleaned in a bag, you can do that as well. So there's wonderful whole foods that you can feed your animal that will make them feel more content. It'll make them feel full. It'll increase a higher grade of fiber, so their stool will be much better, more frequent, and they'll feel better. And you can actually get away with feeding them less because they're going to feel so full and they're going to get the right amount of protein and vegetables in their diet. So that's what I always recommend. Check with your veterinarian to make sure that there is no, you know, before introducing any diet into your pet's life, check with them first. If you're going to introduce some new foods in, do it gradually because you don't want to disrupt their stomach and cause, you know, loose stool or cause some issues there. You may also want to reach out and connect with a holistic veterinarian. Yes. And a holistic veterinarian is someone who, you know, is trained and licensed just like any other veterinarian, but they are looking for new wholesome alternatives such as whole foods to introduce to your animal's life, things like flower essences and herbs and supplements that will increase the quality and length of the life of the animal. So,
well, you know what I've noticed as well, Tim, is a lot more animals are starting to want fresh vegetables. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely. Once they know it's available, they love it. They love to eat it. It's like giving people food, but you know it's not feeding it off the table. But you're giving that high-quality food, and their bodies start to react positively to it. So I think it's a wonderful thing to do. I'm glad we're coming back around to it. My dogs, just for instance, they have a lot of allergies, and we end up having to get them allergy tested. Because one of our schnauzers in particular, he was getting really sick, throwing up quite often and going into seizures whenever he would eat. So we did a test, a food and environmental allergen test on him, and come to find out what was being recommended was a bland diet of boiled chicken and white rice, and those were the two things he was most allergic to. So we got those out of his diet immediately, and for 5+ years he's not had a single issue with any seizures or with any allergens at all. And so every day, and come to find out his brother from the same litter has to be the totally opposite. So he can eat chicken and white rice, but he can't do trout and salmon where the other one can do trout and salmon. So they're totally opposites. We have this very narrow window of what we can feed them. But one of the things that we feed them every day is part of a low grain type of dry kibble, but we also feed them squash and green beans.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've even noticed too that a lot of animals are even appreciate fresh fruits as well. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you want to make sure it's okay to do certain ones, but the fresh apples are great. Make sure, like I said, to make sure they're peeled and decored and deseeded. But that's a wonderful one. Bananas can be that way. Some of these are a little high in sugar, so you want to, you know, don't want to overload your animals with that and cause, you know, trigger some issues. But yeah, some fresh fruit is a good idea. You want to stay away from grapes. Grapes are not a good thing. High in sugar and actually can cause some issues with animals.
Well, no, Angel Boy's going to have a problem with you on that one, Tim.
Uh-oh, he's a grape eater.
Well, you know what he does? He likes the grapes, and what he enjoys doing is batting them around the house.
That's a play toy for him.
Yes, and he throws them up in midair and everything. So then all of a sudden I forget that I've given him some of the grapes to play with, right? And then, of course, I step on. But he does. For some reason, if I've pulled grapes out, he's got to have at least three of those.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, the interesting thing is when you start to introduce these things, like you said, the animals will usually react very positively to them. It's much more healthy for them than the processed treats that are out there. And, you know, it just adds to the quality of their life. So I definitely start introducing some of those things. Check with your veterinarian to make sure what fits best for your particular pet's life. Also, you can take a look at the book. There's some helpful hints in the book as well and some websites. And if you go to my website, wagging-tails.com, there's a tab on there called Useful Links. And on the tab, we cover everything from poison control to certain foods and supplements and flower essences and best places to order your products, etc. And all these are tried and true. I've tested every single one of them, and I don't put anything on my website unless it's something that I approve of. And so check out the Useful Links tab on the wagging-tails.com website.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Tim. It has been truly an honor to have you on the show with us. Keep us posted. Let us know how we can be of support to you and your great works with your communicating with animals. Thank you for stepping up and saying, yes, I'm ready for this task to be the voice for the animals that give so much to us. We personally invite you back to the show as well, so let us know. Okay, Tim?
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on. It was an honor.
It's been great to have you with us. Once again, we've had the honor and the pleasure of having Tim Link, the author and CEO of Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. I want to remind all of you, we will keep that information posted for a week for your convenience. Go and explore, and you'll have a lot of fun. You'll even find yourself giggling and laughing just like I have. And take a good look at this book as well. I bet you 10 to 1, not only will you read it once, but you'll read it twice, maybe even three times. Tim, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for being with us this evening. You are welcome. I want to remind all the listeners out there, let's all join together to give back to these wonderful, wonderful animals that give us so much unconditional love, that brings that joy effortlessly into our lives, that are constant reminders for us to stay so well grounded and connected to ourselves. With that said, be kind to yourselves and to others. Good night to each of you, and God bless. Good night.
Maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true, because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly, and so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. Then we were born to fly. So was I. But when you live in a world that tells you that you can't, and when you live in a world that says you must be something other than what you are, in a world that forgets he was born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly.